Scripture reading this afternoon will be read from Psalms chapter 30, verse 5. Again, that's Psalms chapter 30, verse 5, and it reads as follows. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Good evening. It is great to see you here tonight. We're thankful for your presence and for the opportunity we've been afforded to assemble together again. What a joy is ours to be together, to worship the God of heaven, fellowship with, and encourage and build up one another. We're thankful that you have chosen to do that with us this evening. Appreciate the prayers and the thoughtfulness of the brethren. We had a great meeting with our deacons this afternoon, and please continue to keep them in your prayers as well. We're thankful for the good work that they do here. Look forward to a new year of our working together, striving to do all that we can to be a blessing to this congregation. Before I get started, one more quick thought that ran through my mind, and that is, would you keep Sister Owens in your prayers? She has been scheduled to have her appendix removed, and that will be forthcoming. So if you'll keep her in your prayers, we greatly appreciate that. Along those same lines, Brother Greg is having another biopsy to see if the cancer has spread in his body. That is scheduled on the 15th of this month. That's my brother who preaches in Virginia. If you keep him in your prayers as well, we greatly appreciate that. I said this morning that having Christ versus not having Christ ought to produce a different life. And the Old Testament, if you were to express that sentiment, it would be having Jehovah in your life as opposed to not having Jehovah should produce a different result. And one of the things the Bible teaches relative to that is that the Word of God provides, at least in part, that difference. Look with me, if you will, at Romans chapter 3. For the sermon tonight, it'd be hard-pressed for us to have ended on a better song leading into it than the Word of God blessing our lives and that which proceeds from Him, the mouth of God, that song said. What a blessing it provides for our lives. The Apostle Paul writes this in chapter 3 of the book of Romans, anticipating to some degree the Jews' reaction to what he has said in chapter 1 and chapter 2. In chapter 1, they would have been in full agreement that God had given up the Gentiles. I mean, they would have said absolutely to that. They sinned against God. They became idolatrous, and God gave them up. God gave them up. God gave them over to reprobate minds. To that, the Jews would have said, absolutely, we concur. And then chapter 2 would have come, where Paul says, you're inexcusable, O man, whosoever you are, and judges another, you do the same things. And so the Jews then would have been linked to the Gentiles. That they probably would have had a problem with. In fact, their problem would have been the question expressed here in chapter 3 and verse number 1. And their question is then, what advantage had the Jew? Well, why bother in being a Jew then? If we're just like them, well, what's the point? Paul answers, what is the benefit of circumcision? Verse number 2. Great in every respect. First of all, chiefly this, King James says, unto you was entrusted the oracles of God. What advantage had the Jew? Well, Paul says, in every way, and we could enumerate them. You could start with the deliverance from the Exodus. You could start, that's an advantage over the Gentile world. You could then talk about the manna. No Gentile nation ever enjoyed bread from heaven. The Jews did that. You could get to the law and the mountain, and you could go on enumerating their blessings, but Paul focuses on, you had God's word. And that is a singular blessing that places you above all nations. As we talk this morning about purpose and about planning and about preparation, one of the things that's going to challenge us all is that idea of persistency. It's going to be challenging. You're going to have problems. We talked about Nehemiah. They came up over and over and over again. There were challenges. There were difficulties. Some of them from within. And yes, you have lived long enough to know sometimes it's in your family. That's the challenges are created. And it's without. How are you going to persist? How are you going to make it? How are you going to continue? The Word of God. This evening, I'd like for us to consider some encouraging verses and chapters in the Psalms that hopefully you can use as you go through and continue to press forward and continue to move on with your purpose, your planning, your preparation, your persistency. I hope you're able to do that. But one of the things, if you ever find yourself getting low, you ever find yourself discouraged. Now, certainly in this year, our theme is we're going to love one another. And so hopefully, by all means, reach out to somebody. Call up a brother or sister. One of the reasons we're going to work on relationships is so you'll have a bigger pool from which to draw. Other people need you too. They just don't know you yet. We encourage, move your seats. You know, find a new friend. Make a new friend. Go out with somebody else. Why? Everybody is going to hit the valleys. At some point, we're not going to stay on the mountain peaks. The hard times are coming. We know that they are. Reach out to somebody. And when you're not reaching out to somebody, reach out to the God of heaven. Go to His Word. Find comfort. Find strength. Find assurance. These Psalms provide that. And obviously, this is not the only section of Scripture that does that. But what a blessing it would have been to God's people in the Old Testament. Let's look at a few of them tonight. We started and had read Psalm 30. Now again, we're not going to be reading entire chapters of the Psalms. We'll pick out some verses, some longer than others. But verse 5 has 4 points in it. 4 points in verse number 5 alone. It's thanksgiving. It's attributing and acknowledging God's deliverance. Now the heading of the Psalm actually says, thanksgiving for deliverance from death is actually what my heading says. But in verse 5 specifically, there are 4 points. Here's point number 1, the brevity of God's wrath. The verse says, for His anger is how long? But for a moment. The brevity of God's wrath. Contrast that with the length of God's goodness. Look at the second phrase. His anger is but for a moment, but His favor is for a lifetime. You have the brevity of God's wrath. You have the length of God's goodness. Thirdly, you have the brevity of sadness. What's my low point? The verse says, weeping may last for a night, contrasted with the certainty of triumph. The end of verse number 5 says, but joy comes in the morning. You know, that's a very real thing. I don't want to get beyond my ability of knowledge, but I have read that if people can make it through the night, they often do better in the morning. That health, even in dire circumstances, if they can make it through the night, they typically do better. He says that this sadness, it's in the night. It'll last for a night, but there is certainty of joy and triumph in the morning. Thanksgiving for deliverance from death. Next Psalm, Psalm 32. The heading is the blessedness of forgiveness and of trust in God. Now again, we're not reading the entirety of the Psalm. Of course, we're pulling out verses. I'd encourage the length of the reading. Our focus is on verse number 1 and verse number 2. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile or deceit. The psalm opens like Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way. It opens like that psalm. Blessed is the man. My rendering actually says, how blessed is he, or how blessed is the man? Several things stands out. First of all, the man is blessed. Scripture is describing a state of being, a way of living. The individual lives in a blessed state. It is not simply a matter of him receiving a blessing, but this is who he is. He is a blessed man. The man is blessed. Now, why does and can he live in this blessed way? Two reasons are given. Number one, his transgression is forgiven. When you do reach these low points, this would be one of the things, hopefully, to encourage you and to pull you out of it. It does not matter the state of our lives. It does not matter what happens in the world. That blessing is non-negotiable. That blessing cannot be taken. The man is blessed because his transgression is forgiven. Does not matter the valley this man is in. It does not matter what he has or what he lacks, where he's going. He is blessed. In fact, that's how sometimes our friends and family respond to us. How are you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. You know what I don't hear is Christians say that. I hear people say that whose transgressions actually aren't forgiven. But the people whose are typically don't say that. How you doing? Oh man, I'm making it. How you doing? I'm just barely getting along. Trying to keep my head above water. Well, you know, it's one of the reasons the Apostle Paul can write, obviously through inspiration, that entire book of Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Why can you do that in prison? Because my transgressions are forgiven in prison. My transgressions are forgiven when they beat me, Paul would say. Why are you singing and praying at midnight, Acts 16:25, right after the beating? Why are you doing it? Because my transgressions are forgiven. But the psalm says more. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. The second phrase is, whose sins is covered. It actually has within it a third phrase. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. You know, one of the things that makes that one so good is that word impute means to hold a record of, to keep a record. What is not kept? His iniquities. God does not impute them. God does not credit them to him. Why not? Because his sins are forgiven, his transgressions are covered. God does not keep a tally and a list of his sins. It's one of the reasons that Christians are perplexed with regards to the judgment, because far too many Christians believe they're going to arrive at the judgment with sin to be judged. Truth of the matter is, that's just not so. Christians aren't going to arrive at the judgment with their souls in jeopardy. Christians aren't going to arrive at the judgment with the outcome in doubt. No, God didn't hold a record against you. Why not? Sins are covered, transgressions are forgiven. Now, I hesitate to say I know what you're thinking, because honestly, I don't. But it feels like you might be thinking, I don't know about that, Eric. I was with you all the way to the... Let me ask you this, friends. Is there sin in your life presently? You know what Christians do if they have sins? They turn from sin. That's what they do. Guess what they don't have anymore? I don't know how Christians carry around sin when John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all. All right now. If we're cleansed, we're not carrying around sins. And if we're sins, then they're covered and they're not imputed. Look at Romans chapter 4. The Apostle Paul quotes this passage with reference to those who are in Christ and saved and have obeyed the gospel, but because of the relationship of faith, he can quote, and he does. He quotes Psalm 32. What shall we say then? That Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, is found? For if Abraham is justified by works, he has nothing to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him, or credited unto him for righteousness. Now, to him who works, it is the wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believed in him who justified the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Just as David speaks of the blessing of the man to whom God credits with righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sins the Lord will not take into account. Paul is talking about those who've obeyed the gospel, Romans 1:16-17. Chapter 3, verses 23 to 25, to those who have been justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. What are they? Well, they're blessed. And in what is the state in which they live? They live in a state of being blessed every day of their lives. Their sins are covered, transgressions forgiven. The Lord does not impute, hold credit to them sin. It is indeed a blessing and a wonderful way to live one's life. Psalm 34, verse number 11, beginning. Again, jumping into the psalm, and so obviously we're missing a significant piece. The Lord, a provider and deliverer, is the psalm, the topic or the title that I have. Begin reading with me at verse number 11 and listen to the wonder of this psalm. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Wonderful statement in verse number 12. It's what we all want. Who is the man that desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? Who is he and what should he do? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Why? The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, but to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and what happens? The Lord hears. Not only does he hear, the verse says, and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Peter quotes this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, just after talking about the wives in verses 1 through 6 and the husbands in verse number 7. And then he turns to us all and he quotes this very section. He who would love life and see good days, let him eschew evil and turn away from good and seek peace and ensue it. Why? The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The sadness for sometimes of God's people is they believe God's face is against them. That's not what the psalmist says. It's not what Peter says. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, not against his children, but against them that do evil. What's he doing with his children? He's watching and listening, caring and providing and answering their prayers. One of the things that makes us low is the feeling of loneliness. I feel like nobody is there for me. Nobody knows. Nobody cares. And the scriptures are screaming the exact opposite. God hears and God sees and God knows and God cares. Use that to pull myself out of the valleys and keep persisting on to the purpose and the goals and the things that I have designed as I follow our Lord. Psalm 37 is, well, there's a pack of verses in there that just stand out and worthy of talking about any one of them. There is a reminder to the faithful that the psalmist begins with, and he encourages and exhorts us, do not fret because of evildoers. Now, the psalmist didn't have a television with 400 cable network channels. And so it wasn't accessible to him to turn on the news and to see constant loop of how bad the world is and how bad humanity is and all of the things. And so maybe we're challenged in a different way with regards to that. And yet the point remains the same. You don't fret because of evildoers. But the psalmist says more. Because that fretting for some might turn to envy. Be not envious toward wrongdoers. Sometimes you watch it long enough, it's so bad out there. You know, sometimes Christians might be tempted to say, you know what I should do? I should break the rules too. I should cheat too. I should cut corners too. I should do what they're doing to get what they... No, you shouldn't do that. Right after those two statements, notice verse number 2 and 3, the certainty of what's going to follow. For they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. What should we do? Rely and trust in God. Trust in the Lord. Point number one. What's point number two? Do good. That needs to keep being done. We trust in the Lord and we keep doing good. If we were to take that sentiment to the New Testament, it would be something like this. Let your light shine. You keep doing good. You keep showing up. You keep affecting the world for good. Yes, there are people at your job that continue to do wrong and seem to profit. Yes, they keep cutting corners, keep cheating, keep getting away. And yes, it seems like they're getting by, they're getting over, and you might be getting passed over. There might be a temptation. So that's how we're doing it now? Everybody's okay with it? Okay. That's how we're... No, 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 no. Keep letting your light shine. You keep doing good. That is a temporary thing that you're enduring. But you're looking for something far greater than that. And the fact that we sometimes underestimate our worth and value to the world does not make it so. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. It does not matter what the world is doing. God's people need to keep doing good in the world. God's people need to keep letting their light shine. There is dependency and joy in relying on the Lord. Verse number 4, look at what it says. Yes, trust in the Lord and do good. Verse number 3, dwell in the land, cultivate faithfulness. Verse number 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. You go back and look in the Old Testament and just walk your way through, and those individuals were blessed because of their trust in God, not because they fudged facts and lied and cheated and stole. That's not how. One example just stands out is the life of Joseph. Clearly, that young man delighted himself in the Lord. How do you know? Every time Joseph took a step, it seems that step was in harmony with God and His will. Joseph's brethren hated him. I never read the passage that said Joseph hated them back. Never read that. Joseph was lied on, sold into slavery. Never read where Joseph tried to get somebody back. Not his slave owners, not his master, not at all. No, every time you read about Joseph, he's being done wrong, but he keeps doing good. Miss Potiphar lied on Joseph. There was Joseph delighting in the Lord. Your husband has given me reign over everything in his house, but he's not given me you. You're his wife. How could I do this and sin against God? No, Joseph delighted himself in the Lord. And what happened? Here's what you'll read in Genesis 39. You open up that chapter to talk about Potiphar and how Joseph excelled in his house, but you'll read this, and the Lord was with him. You'll go a little further in that chapter, and you'll come to Miss Potiphar, and she'll lie, but the Lord was with him. You get to the end of that chapter, and again it says, and the Lord was with him. Joseph was prosperous, not because Joseph, but because the Lord was with him, and Joseph was with the Lord. He delighted himself in the Lord. Verse number 25, and we'll move on. I love the verse. Maybe it's because I'm getting old. I know, older. Every time I say that, some older person than me meets me back at the door and say, you're not old yet. I'm not as old as you, but I'm old. Verse 25. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. There's no greater life to live than to live your life with God. We rejoice at anybody coming to the Lord's vineyard in the 11th hour. It is never too late. And no matter when you come, praise God you came. There will be some people, though, who spent their entire life with the Lord. I have been young with the Lord. Now I'm old with the Lord. Those people hopefully can say what David said. I've never seen the righteous forsake. Been through a lot of stuff, but the Lord has been with me through them all. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Those are the words of our Lord. I'm in the valley now. How do I get out? I've been young and I've been old. God never forsook me. Paul says something similar in the book of Timothy. He said, at my first defense, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. Friends, it'll be true. There will be nothing that you experience where Jesus will say, I have to leave you now. Jesus will be with you throughout your life and into eternity. The Lord will be with you. What a wonderfully encouraging thought. One more psalm and we'll finish tonight. Psalm 42. Psalm 42, the title says, thirsting for God in trouble and exile. You open up the psalm, and this is actually a song that we sing, but it manifests a desire for the Lord, a strong desire for the Lord. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. Verse number 2, there is a longing for God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where shall I come and appear before God? One of the commentaries I read on this particular psalm, the psalmist, the writer said, the scene or the picture is of a deer that is searching for water but can't find it. And the deer in this arid land who has been searching for this water and unable to find it is now panting. And as the deer looks for water, the search increases because death is certain. What happens if I don't find water? With that in mind, go back and listen to the words again. As the deer pants for water, so in that fashion, my soul longs for you. My soul thirsts for God. It puts you in mind of Peter's words in the very text where Jesus, in chapter 4 of John, referred to himself as the living water, and in chapter 6 referred to himself as the bread from heaven. He asked the apostles, will you also go away? Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. What advantage has the Jew? You have the very living word of God. What is it that's going to pull you up out of these challenges this year? Here's what you can be certain of. They are coming. Some challenge is going to come. Something is going to come up. Some difficulty, some hardship, something is going to try to get you off of your purpose. Sure, you prepared. Fantastic. You even got a plan. I think that's terrific, because the only way to get there is to have a plan. But if we're going to be challenged in any area this year and for the duration of our lives, it's that persistency. Am I going to give up? Am I going to quit? I would love to suggest just use your strength and your might. No, you don't need more than that. Let God and His Word. You go into that valley, take it down there with you, and use God's word and His strength to allow you to pull yourself out, trusting in Him, and continue and continue and continue. I have been young, I've been old. Don't fret, evildoers. Blessed is the man, transgressions are forgiven. Allow God's word to bless you and strengthen you and pull you into persistence to meet the purpose of your life. Not a Christian tonight, become one. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John 8:24, Jesus said, if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sins. Repent, turn from sin, change your heart, change your mind, give your life to Jesus. Delight in the Lord. Jesus said, if you don't, you'll perish. Confess His name, Acts 4:12, Romans 10:9 and 10, and be immersed in water, baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And the Bible says God will make you a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you've never done that, you need to. But oh, if you have. Oh, if you have. Well, let this year be the year. Let your light shine. Keep doing good. Don't let them make you quit. You can. You can. You can. In fact, friends, I would urge we simply must. To God be the glory as we continue to live for Him and in this world. Subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand, as we sing.